Thank you for downloading or streaming this message from Emmanuel Church. We are one church with multiple locations, and we believe God wants to bless you right where you are. In a few moments, you're going to hear some practical teaching from God's Word that I believe will be inspiring and relevant to your life. First, though, if you haven't yet experienced Emmanuel Live, we encourage you to go to our website, eclife.org, to check out our service times and locations so that you can experience Emmanuel in person or through our online campus. If this message blesses you and you'd like to support the ministry financially, again, you can go to eclife.org and click on the Giving tab and choose Online Campus as your campus. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message will be an encouragement to you on your spiritual journey.
How important is it for us to believe that he is just good in your life. No matter what news comes in, no matter what the season brings, to hold fast and true to the character of God, that he's good, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger. These are character qualities of God. The enemy wants things to come into your life and for you to question the character of the goodness of our God. Part of the reason why we meet is to reinforce his character qualities. Because the reality is that we live in the middle of a tension, that the good things that come into your life, a great business deal went through, your child won a softball game, whatever. We live in this tension where the enemy wants to take the good things that God means to be a blessing, and he wants to take them and use them for a source of your pride. I did that. It was good. Yeah, did you see what I did? It's me. A blessing the enemy wants to take and use for evil. At the same time, in the middle of the tension, God wants to take the things that the enemy wants to use for evil to cause you to doubt, to cause you to self-deprecate against yourself. He wants to take those, use them for evil, but God, in his goodness, he wants to take them and use them for good and his purpose. And we have to believe that about his character, because the truth is there's power in words. That words hold the power of life and death. And the truth about you and the truth about me is that he's not done with you yet. There's so much more to your story that he wants to do, not because you're good, not because I'm good, but because he's faithful. He's writing the story, continuing to write it. Will you allow him to be the author? Can we do that together, church? Come on. Help us never forget who you are, Lord. You're faithful, you're forgiving and kind. It's your nature, Lord. When did I start to forget? You did. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? And how did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You do miracles. You are more than able. Oh, you never change, you're the same. You are more than able. Yes, you are more than able. Oh, faith rises. What the Lord can do. I've seen how you work, and there's so much goodness and grace, so much more than I deserve, 'cause I know who I am. I'm loved, and I can stay where I'm at. Oh, we've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back, 'cause he's not done with me. Yeah. No, he's not done with me.
What's up, EC Life? How y'all doing? Good? Are you doing okay? Is the winter wearing on you yet? Is it? My name's Darren. I'm from California, so I left some great weather to come here to the land of snow and ice. Yeah, it's great. But I coming here actually feels like home. Now in California, we don't have snow. Okay, so we go sledding on the beach is what we do. So this is my kids 2 weeks ago in January. This is the second picture right here, blazing our path down the trail. So we don't have snow, so that's California in January. So it's tough. Come join us. The gas is only $5.25 a gallon, so very affordable life that we're living. Now, I grew up in Ohio, actually, so this is very, I feel like coming home when I'm back in the Midwest. These are my kids repping Ohio State. Where are my Buckeyes at? OH? All right. Yeah. A lot of boos, a few boos. You're living in enemy territory over here. But I went to Taylor University just up the road a little ways. Taught in Pike Township, so I'm used to the cold, so it feels like coming home. Plus, the rental car agency was kind enough to give me the car that smells like weed, so I got a little Cali vibe too. So I feel right at home right now where I am. So anyway, I'll be a new speaker next hour. Now, I want to welcome all the campuses all over the place that are joining us. This is my third time here. In the time from the first time to this time, y'all have added so many campuses. I hear there's one in every city in the state of Indiana. And so congratulations. You guys are crushing it. We want to welcome our Alaska campus and Nigeria campus. No, I'm kidding about those two, but you all are crushing it. You're killing it. I love being here. I learned so much from your leaders. You have an incredible leadership team. You all are incredible. You're doing incredible work. I tell my team back in California that John chapter 1, verse 10 says that Jesus came into the world that he made And yet the world did not recognize him. And we get the opportunity to help the world around us recognize Jesus for who he really is. And y'all are killing that. You're doing a great job helping the world know that there's a God who loves them right where they are, a God that is for them. So congratulations, all the campuses watching. Y'all keep it up. You're doing great work here in Indiana. It's really cool. I'm here for part three of Generous Marriage, this series that we're doing about we're examining marriage and going, hey, are you being generous with certain areas in your marriage? Last week, Danny talked about serving, about being a generous servant, that if you're a Jesus follower, you are defined as a servant. And so servers serve, just like players play, servers serve, you know? Don't hate the player, hate the game, don't hate the service, I don't know if that works, but just as a servant, you serve. And so in your marriages, you pour it on. You get generous with your service. How did you do this week? Did you crush it? Were you amazing as a servant? Or do you need a redo this week? Did you forget? Do you need to re-up on your service this week? We're doing this series to challenge us to think about how are we doing in our marriages? Like, how's that going? And so that's why I'm here, because of marriage. Marriage is what brings us together. That blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream, the dream within a dream. Before you get married, you think, I just need to get married to be happy. You get married, you're like, I don't think that was that was it. That wasn't it. I thought this was gonna make me happy. Everyone else was getting married. They told me to get married. I thought we were gonna live happily ever after, but I don't even know if we're gonna live. Like, we might kill each other first. Marriage is hard work. It's difficult work. I grew up, I was pretty good at stuff. You know, I did okay in school. I did pretty well with sports. Most of my jobs have been fairly successful, a few failures in there. But I just assumed, I mean, I've been pretty decent at stuff. I'll be pretty decent at marriage. I assumed wrong. I was terrible. I mean, I was like flunking out of marriage, terrible at marriage. I just couldn't get it right. I just could not figure out how to really love my wife. I am married. This is my wife, Molly, right here. We look happy. But there have been seasons where these smiles were not on our faces, where it was difficult, hard work to do. And I had a really hard time with marriage. And I know that some of you are in that same spot. I know that it can be difficult. And some of you aren't married and you're single and you're thinking to yourself, I don't need what you're selling today, bro, because I'm not even married. I get it. But I wish that I could go back to the days before I was married and pay attention to what I'm going to tell you today, because it took a lot of counseling over the last 13 years. I know 13 years isn't that long. Some of you have been married for much longer than that, but I bet I've been to more counseling with you. That's how bad I was at it. And I've learned some skills along the way, one of which I want to share with you today, that if I could go back to the days when I was just getting married or before I was married and pay attention to what I'm going to say today, oh, it would have saved me so much grief and heartache. So single people, tune in. I'm trying to save you money. I'm trying to help you today. So this is for everybody today. Some of you in here, you're married and you have an amazing marriage. Your marriage is easy, it's very romantic, kind of sexy, wonderful marriage. If that's you, we just want you to know congratulations, and we kind of hate you. No, we don't hate you, we're just jealous. We don't know why you got what we ordered. We wanted that, and you got it. Because some of you in this room right now, you got in a fight last night. Some of you watching online, you're nudging each other right now, and you nudge back like, don't touch me, don't make it obvious. Some of you got in a fight on the way here today. Some of you have tension in your marriages. Some of you are walking on eggshells. You can't say anything right. You just can't seem to get it right. Some of you are living as roommates, sleeping in different rooms, or maybe sleeping in the same room, but not touching each other. Every transaction is just kind of a business deal. Just logistics, you're hanging on for the kids maybe. You've just said, listen, we'll get through it with the kids. Let the kids, you know, graduate, and then we'll see where we go from here. But it's not going good. You're maybe blaming each other for your financial crisis, or you're frustrated. Some of you in this room right now, you're contemplating divorce, and you're wondering if you can even make it last any longer. For some of you in the room, for some of you watching online, you're at the end of your rope, and marriage is not everything that you thought it would be cracked up to be. It kind of stinks right now, and it's no good, and you are having a hard time. And I just want to tell you, I know the shoes you're in. I've been in them. And so I want to tell you two things. Number one, I want you to call a truce this morning for just a moment between you and your person. Just call a quick truce. Just forgive them for a second. Just make it fake forgiveness if you need to. For just 20 minutes, just fake forgive them. Because if you don't call a truce, today what I have to share with you, you're going to try and apply it to them. And I just want to tell you right now, before I get going, today's idea is not for them. It's for you. And if you're not careful, if you're angry with, if you still have tension with your spouse, you will want to apply this to them because everything is their fault and they're the idiot who needs help. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say to you is I want to pray for you because I have been in your shoes. I know that picture looks like we're so happy, but there were times in our marriage where it felt like we would never get along. We would pray things like, Lord, we would love it if you would take one of us, and I don't want it to be me. But we were too stubborn to get divorced. We both knew that. And so my wife will tell you, she had decided she was just going to live a kind of miserable existence in our marriage until the day I died. And then my Gatorade started tasting a little bit like antifreeze, and I got a little nervous. That part's not true. But really, she was like, I guess I'm just going to be miserable because we're never going to get along. And we do get along now. And God has shaped and redeemed and restored and used our story to help so many people not give up the fight. And so I just want to pray for you real fast, wherever you find yourself this morning. God, marriage is difficult, and yet it's the best thing that you use to shape us, to wipe away or to sand down the rough edges. So God, for the people in the room, for the people watching online, for anyone who sees this, who clicks on it someday, and they're feeling like this is, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it, God. Would you just give them your spirit and your comfort and your peace today? And would you give them wisdom and give them strength? Help them to see a brighter future. God, would you redeem and restore marriages, even in this moment? In Christ's name we pray, amen. So what I want to share with you today is not rocket science. It's not genius. It's not theological genius. It's not. You're not going to be like, wow, this guy is a prophet. You're not going to do that. You're not going to think this is, oh my gosh, where did he come up with this? This is going to be a basic truth. There's time and a place to go like deep into understanding the scripture and all the different languages and all the different things that are in there. But today I want to take a basic truth and I want to try and sink it deep down into our spirit, to put it deep down into your soul, into your heart, so we actually do this thing, because this thing is worthless unless it's done. So I want to encourage us to do something that could be life-changing for your marriage. Before I was married, my brother and I were about a year apart. We were both adults living in different places around the country, and we'd call each other. We're kind of best friends, and we were talking about like marriage someday. We'd talk about the kind of girl we'd want to date and the kind of girl we want to marry, you know, and be like, I want this, I want that. And one day he said something to me I've never forgotten. He said, you know what I want? I want to marry somebody who thinks I'm awesome. That's what I want. I want to marry somebody who thinks I'm awesome. And I said to him, yes. Yes, that's what I want too. I want to marry somebody who thinks, oh, I'm so lucky to be with you. Right? And I think that describes the heartbeat of every single human on the planet. You might say it differently. You might say it with a little bit different wording. But isn't it true that you, when you think about who you want to be with and who you're sitting next to now, that you want to be with somebody who thinks you're awesome, that when they wake up in the morning next to you, they're like, I'm so glad that I got you. You're amazing. No one goes, you know what I want? I hope I marry somebody who looks at me and like, you're disgusting. No one's ever like, I want to marry somebody who just thinks I'm a train wreck. You don't want that. You want to be with somebody who thinks you're awesome. And this has been in us since we were children. We're born with this thing that wants everyone to think that we're awesome. I have a four-year-old son, and every day he comes to the door, he comes running to the door to me, and he goes, Dad, let me show you my tricks on the bar. And he's not making mixed drinks. We have a gymnastics bar. in our house. This is in the garage at our house. This was a bear to get on the plane. And he'll say, Dad, let me show you my tricks on the bar. And I'll walk over there to the garage, and if I'm on my phone, he's like, Dad, look, Dad, are you getting this? I'm about to blow your mind, bro. He gets on this bar. He's 4 years old. I think he's going to kill himself one day on it. And he gets on it, and he starts swinging. He starts swinging like this, swinging like this, starts swinging like this, right? And then he gets up on the bar like this, right? Oh, and then he flips over like this. That's not even my best move. And he goes, Dad, did you get that? Did you see that, Dad? And what do I say to him? It's not that big a deal. No, I see what he does, and I say, bro, that's amazing. You're incredible. Oh, my gosh. And all this four-year-old wants is for Dad to see how awesome he is and tell him how awesome he is. And you know what I think? I don't think that ever leaves the human heart. I don't think it ever leaves the human heart. That every single one of us wants the important people in our life to say, man, you're awesome. But we're adults, so we don't say, come see my tricks on the bar. Instead, we quietly do things we think are awesome, hoping that our person will notice. So we go, yo, I don't know if you saw, but I did the laundry. I washed it, dried it, folded it, and put it in your drawers for you. So, kind of a big deal. I cleaned up again. I don't know if you noticed, but I did, and you didn't, and I'm awesome. Well, yeah, well, I know you cleaned up, but I fix stuff. So, the doorknobs, you notice, they're not so loose anymore. I did that. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I was nice to your mom. So, what do you think about that? You like those moves? That's cool. I cooked dinner again. Yeah, well, guess what I did? I watched The Bachelor with you. That was difficult, but I did it. And you didn't even say thank you. Yeah, well, I put my phone down for almost 30 minutes. So, kind of a big deal. Well, that's great. It's great you put your phone down. I only went to Target once this week. So, I'm getting good. Yeah, okay, well, guess what? I did the dishes again, and I fixed the way you put them in the dishwasher. Because you do it wrong. That's great. I broke down all the cardboard boxes that you left sitting outside. So, how you like me now? I watched the kids. I made the money. I don't know, this one, I gave it up. I mean like alcohol or something. What were you guys thinking? Sickos. And we do our moves in our marriages. And all the while, we're hoping our spouse sees it and goes, man, that's awesome. Because we have a need to be recognized as awesome. We have a need to be valued. We have a need to be important. And all of this can be solved with one little thing: the words that come out of your mouth. All of this can be dealt with the words that come out of your mouth. The writer of Ephesians says it like this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And everyone thinks this is the cussing verse. Everyone goes, oh, so don't cuss. That's not what this is about. I'm not saying you should cuss. I'm just saying that's not what this is about. In fact, what it means is the word here is sapros. Unwholesome in this sentence is sapros, the Greek word. And sapros means corrupt, rotten, or worthless. Don't let corrupt, rotten, or worthless words come out of your mouth. You want words coming out of your mouth that are doing something helpful, right? And so what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. that they may benefit those who listen. Do you know that your spouse or the person you will marry someday is sitting next to you every single day with hardwired, built-in needs? They have a need that you can satisfy with your words. Your spouse has a need to be noticed, a need to be valued, a need to be important. Every day they have hardwired needs. My wife does as well. I had to learn this, that she is awesome, that Molly is awesome. And so when I look at her, when I stare her in the eyes, and I try to connect with her, I have decided that in my marriage, I'm gonna make sure I see the awesome and I say the awesome. I'm gonna see the awesome and I'm gonna say the awesome. Because if I don't, I promise you somebody else will. When this doesn't happen at home, it happens somewhere. This is why people become workaholics oftentimes. Because over here, no one said I was awesome. But over at work, everybody thinks I'm awesome. So I'm gonna go hang out at work because they think I'm awesome. This is how affairs often start. Because over here, you never said I was awesome. But over here, somebody keeps telling me I'm awesome. So I gotta choose, do I wanna be where no one thinks I'm awesome or where everybody thinks I'm awesome? And oftentimes people choose to leave their marriage for someone who just said they were awesome. That's all it took, was someone to meet the need that they had. So when it comes to my wife, I'm gonna get in on that game because I'm not trying to lose my wife. Not on my watch. No. You ain't gonna tell my wife she's awesome more than I tell her she's awesome. If anybody's gonna tell her she's awesome, I'm gonna tell her she's awesome. Don't you go around trying to tell her she's awesome without me telling her she's awesome. I'm gonna win the awesome game in my house. I'm gonna tell my wife she's awesome. So I gotta see the awesome and I gotta say the awesome. Now, lest you think I'm some incredible husband, I told you I was terrible at this for a long time. For a long time, my life lined up more with this verse. The verse in Proverbs 18 that says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I was filled with death. My words were filled with death. And it says, those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love the power of life in your tongue, then you'll get the consequences of the power of life. But if you love the power of death in your tongue, that you like the power that it gives you to tear people down, then you'll reap the consequences of that. And for whatever reason, in my marriage, at the beginning of my marriage, I was full of words of death, and it was cutting my wife and hurting my wife in ways that I didn't even understand until one night we went to a marriage conference. And we were small group leaders at our church. And we told everyone else in the married group, come with us, we'll show you how to do it. We show up at the marriage conference. We've been in a fight earlier that day. And I promise you, the dude was speaking right to me the whole time. Like some of you feel like I'm speaking right to you right now. And he said, I want to tell you something about your words and how they work, how they operate. He said, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says this, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. He said, I want to break that down for you. What it means is that the hurtful words that you say, they cut quickly. And he brought out a sword like this. And he said, if I took this sword, can I get a volunteer real quick? No. If I took this sword, a sharp one, and I rammed it through, I'm not gonna do it, all right? I like a good illustration, but not that much. If I were to ram this through somebody, and we took a stopwatch, and we started the stopwatch to see how long it took for the sword to cause you to bleed, it would be instant, right? The wound would happen instantly. Now, we get the same stopwatch, we come up and we put some gauze over it, we put a little Neosporin on your sword wound, and we put some stitches on it, and we put some salve on it, and we put a Band-Aid on it, we wrap it up, and start the stopwatch. And let's wait to see how long it takes for the wound to heal up. Well, you're gonna be waiting a few weeks. Maybe months, and you're gonna have to care for that wound and take the covering off and re-bandage it and use soap and water and clean it, make sure it's good, because wounds heal slower, right? Words, they cut really fast. And words, they will bring healing, but they'll bring healing the same way that medicine brings healing, slowly, over time. Your words are cutting each other, and you're hoping that your words would cure each other quickly, but they don't. The healing always takes longer than the hurting. Healing words always take longer than hurting words. That's not going to work. This is why you don't get to yell at your spouse, realize you were wrong, come back in the room and be like, hey, I'm really sorry. Let's go to dinner and make out. No. You hurt me. You don't just say sorry and it's fixed. You're going to need to do that over time. Over time, you have to keep those words coming because those words take a while to heal. Cutting words do it fast. Healing words do it slow. I don't know why this was such a revelation to me, but I began to realize, oh my gosh, I keep slicing my wife open with my words and hoping that my words would just heal them real quick, and they don't. The healing words take a long time, so I gotta be really careful with the cutting words. I gotta be really careful with the cutting words. I don't wanna leave scrapes and scars all over my spouse. And you don't want to either. I wanna tell my spouse that she's awesome. I wanna see it and say it. But you gotta know this about your words. Your words are always either cutting or curing. They're gonna either be cutting somebody or curing somebody. So are you being generous with your curing words? Or are you being generous with your cutting words? You gotta be generous with your curing words. You might be curing wounds that you didn't even cause. Maybe your spouse was trying to show their dad or their mom all their moves when they were a kid. They didn't have a mom or dad that cared about their moves. Maybe people in high school ripped them to shreds with their words. Maybe they have a low self-esteem because of something somebody said to them. And you get to be the one who brings healing. And you can do it. This little thing right here is free. You don't have to pay for it. You could be curing your spouse with the words that you say. What an opportunity. And I told y'all, this isn't rocket science. You already know this. But are you doing it? Are you thinking about it? Are you pouring on the encouragement? Are you pouring on the curing words? Or has that been difficult for you? Have you been doing more cutting than curing? Do you even know what your spouse wants to hear from you? Have you asked them what they would like for you to say? Do you know what words would encourage your spouse? Here's the challenge as we wrap up today. For you this week, as you leave here and you go home, you go wherever you want to go, if you're not married, whatever relationship you find yourself in with friends and family, but if you are married, in your marriage relationship, can you see the awesome? Find it. Your spouse is awesome. You used to think it. Can you find it again? Can you see the awesome? And then, can you say the awesome? This week, your challenge is see the awesome and say the awesome over and over again. See the awesome and say the awesome. Because your spouse is awesome. One way Molly and I do this is we try to keep up daily appreciations. We just try to say, hey, thank you for this, thank you for that. Small things. Just daily little appreciations. Oh, it goes a long way when you get noticed for what you did. It tells them, I see you're awesome. And I'm going to say you're awesome. I just want to tell you how awesome you are. Daily appreciations, regular appreciations. Now, some of you are going to struggle with this for a lot of reasons. But some of you struggle with it because God hasn't changed your heart yet. You haven't invited him in to restore and redeem and heal and fix what's inside of you. Because we're born with a sinful nature living inside of us that doesn't want to say nice things, that wants to do what's evil and do what's wrong. In fact, the writer of Luke said this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If your heart is still full of anger, if your heart is still full of vitriol and animosity, then your mouth will speak anger and animosity. But if you'll fix your heart, if you'll fix your heart, what's in here? You'll fix your words. If you'll fix your heart, you'll fix your words. I just want to invite you right now. For those of you in the room or watching online that you're like, I don't know that I have a relationship with a God who's fixed my heart yet. Would you be willing to say yes to Jesus, the one who came and died on the cross for your sins, to fix what's inside of us, what's broken inside of me. Every one of us is born with a brokenness living inside of us that needs to be repaired, redeemed, and restored and traded for the righteousness of Jesus. And on the cross, he did that. He died on a cross, and then death couldn't hold him down. He got up from the grave, and he defeated death on our behalf, and he offers a trade to you and to me. He says, I'll give you my life for your life. I'll come into your life, and I'll restore everything, and I'll heal everything, and I'll fix everything. I'll give you a brand new heart. And some of us, if we're going to really see the awesome and say the awesome to our spouse, we need to start with our own heart and start by letting God in to heal what's broken. So I'd love if you'd want to just to say yes to Jesus. Just bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me. If that's you in the room, you want God to come into your life, forgive you for your broken places, forgive you for your sin, and give you a new life. Just say something like this. Jesus, I want to say yes to you. My heart, I know, is full of brokenness and sin. I want to ask that you'd forgive me, that you'd heal what's broken in me, that you give me a brand new life. God, I want to see the awesome in people. And I want to say the awesome to people. But I got to start by healing my own heart. So Jesus, will you come in? Will you make me new? Will you heal my heart? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, wherever you're at, wherever in the room, we just want to thank you. You made a great decision. We want to celebrate that with you. And when I first began a relationship with God, I had people walk with me. I had people encourage me to read my Bible and to get into God's Word and to grow in my faith. And we want to do the same for you. So if you made that decision, you could actually text the word SAVED to 65248, and you can go to the information booth at any of your campuses and pick up one of these saved boxes. Inside of it, there'll be a Bible and a gift from us to you so that you don't have to walk alone in your faith as you start on that journey. You can grab one of these. If you're watching online, you can actually just give us a little more information and we'll send one to you in the mail. At this time, I'm gonna hand it off to your local campus team to wrap up our services. Thanks for being here today.